We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Joe, as we see, the state budget impasse has been dragging on for about a month now. You were a state rep for 16 years. What do you think the solution is to this budget stalemate?
The only solution that I see is the Senate needs to go back in and pass the budget that they passed out of the Finance Committee. They passed the House version the way it was written out of the Finance Committee. Then all of a sudden they decided that for whatever reasons they were going to send a shot across the bow of Speaker Mattiello, and they put a bogus amendment in on it, which is totally unnecessary because they didn't have to put an amendment that would say that if the tax phase out would have to be eliminated if the budgetary conditions necessitated it. So it's a bogus amendment. They have the budget as passed out of the House. They have it as passed out of their committee, the Senate Finance Committee. Go back and vote it in. And let's not play games with the cities and towns that are waiting to do their tax bills.
Let me switch gears here and ask you about President Trump. You were the honorary head of President Trump's campaign in Rhode Island last year. Some people across the political spectrum, Democrats and Republicans, have expressed concern about the president and how he communicates, his level of coarseness, his knee-jerk anger at some people. And they say that he's changing the norms of political discourse in the U.S. Does that give you pause at all?
Well, you know, I can't say that I agree with his style in everything he's done. I don't agree with everything he's done style-wise. I do agree with his agenda. I agree with his big picture agenda, how he visualizes the country and where the country needs to go. And I'm happy to see that every day he's plowing through the bureaucracy. He's plowing through the negativity of the left that still hasn't realized that they lost the election for Hillary Clinton. And they keep trying to throw all these monkey wrenches into his presidency. And, you know, they can clog the wheel up. You know, you throw something in, it tends to clog the wheel up. And that's all they're trying to do to him.
Let's go to Scott.
Oh, isn't it kind of ridiculous to go after Jeff Sessions? Here's a former senator, well-respected, well-liked by his Republican colleagues. And we've seen people like John McCain, and we've seen people like Lindsey Graham, Orrin Hatch, other senators come out and say, you know, what are you doing?
You know, I would question that, too. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that I think that you should publicly admonish your attorney general, right? You should publicly do that. But I can understand his frustration. I mean, the days are going by every day. We've heard all of this stuff about the Clinton Foundation, Hillary Clinton disposing of all these emails, all the negativity that's happened on the Democratic side. Nothing is being done about it. The only people that are being attacked is Trump on the nonsense line with this Russia connection.
Now, wait
Russia,
a minute.
Russia,
now,
Russia.
Now, wait a minute. The Republicans, when they control the House and Hillary Clinton, didn't they have Benghazi hearings forever?
They had Benghazi hearings, yes. But there's a lot more that Clinton did way beyond what happened with Benghazi.
Clinton's not president anymore. Why do we care about her?
We care about
it's moot.
We care about the violation of the law. We care about all the same things that they're trying to criticize him for, a Russian connection. We care about the fact that Bill Clinton received $500,000 or $1 million to go speak in Russia. We care about those things because it was a pay-for-play situation that she was doing when she was Secretary of State. And we shouldn't let them just go by the wayside.
News reports indicate the Pentagon was surprised by President Trump's announcement that he would ban transgender people from the military. Do you support the president on that move?
If the president came to that conclusion by the generals making the statements that they've made, and they feel the way it's come out in the press that it could be a distraction, yeah, I think that he has to listen to the generals and take their advice. So in that particular case, I would support him.
I'm just wondering, why do you think it is that President Trump is at a 29% approval rating in Massachusetts and 37% in Rhode Island?
I think the average working person in Rhode Island who works hard to provide for their family, to pay for a house, has had it in Rhode Island more than the people in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is doing far better under a Republican governor than Rhode Island is doing under a Democratic governor. And if you look across the country, the Republicans hold 32 governor seats, 31 or 32 governor seats. The Democrats hold 18. If you look at the states and compare them to which states are doing better financially, business-wise, the states that are controlled by Republican governors are doing a lot better than the ones controlled by Democrats.
Seriously? California, New York? California has high taxes.
California's a disaster.
It's not a disaster. It has the most innovative economy in the country.
We're talking here with former state rep Joe Trillo. And Joe, you didn't have a lot of difficulty winning re-election for 16 years on Smith Hill.
Yes.
But the Republicans remain a small minority in the General Assembly. Why is that? Why have Republicans been unable to increase their ranks in the legislature?
The state believes and still believes that the Democrats are going to do more. We become a poverty state. And historically, the Democrats take care of poverty better than the Republicans. Now, what the Democrats are doing in Rhode Island is they're importing poverty by the thousands, and they're exporting wealth. That's what the Democrats do.
How are Democrats importing poverty?
By keeping this state now as a sanctuary state and welcoming people who have no money, no resources, and no jobs to come into this state openly and not fear that they could be arrested by ICE or whatever else could be done to stop them.
You're talking about undocumented immigrants, then?
I'm talking about undocumented immigrants, correct.
Aren't a lot of these people, though, just working hard? They're like,
Yes, they are. They're good people. Some of them are great people, but they don't belong here illegally. So let's have a system where we let them through the gate. We know who they are. I don't care if we take $100 million in a year, but let's know who they are. Let's not keep the open border policy that Governor Raimondo wants to keep, that Mayor Liozzo wants to keep.
Why don't the Republicans? And what happened to the Republican Party from George Bush's presidency when they were on board with a comprehensive plan for immigration reform, realizing that Ronald Reagan did the biggest amnesty
George Bush was
in
a
American
pansy.
History?
He was a pansy. Donald Trump is no pansy. And that's what we need. We need a tough guy to make tough decisions. What happens is, and that's why his brother couldn't get the nomination. His brother had all of the key players in every single state lined up in his corner. He could have raised more money than anybody because he was the anointed one. But you know what? The people didn't want him. The people want a tough guy. They want somebody that's going to make radical changes.
Joe, you filed some bills while you were still in the legislature that critics saw as being aimed at the East Greenwich Yacht Club after you were booted from that club. Was that a vindictive approach on your part?
Well, seeing as how you're going to bring this up, you said I was booted from the club. I was booted from the club because I had an argument with one of the people that worked there that was towing my boat at the time, and we were in a windstorm, and he threatened to untie the boat when I criticized the manner in which he was tying it. So I used a few unchoicely words, and he got upset and reported me like a little child back to the board. But the club is made up of people that wanted to get me out of the club because I had waited 13 years for a slip. And I was at the top of the list to get a slip. But they don't like power boaters because 90% of the club are sailboaters. And there's a different mentality between the two, the power boaters and the sailboaters. So what they did was they offered me an ultimatum. I had to apologize to him. I'm not going to apologize to anybody when I think I'm right. And I'm right, and I was within my rights to criticize him, and I stand on that. So what was your other question?
That's all the time we have, so I think that's it for now. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Scott.
Great to be here.
And former state rep and potential GOP gubernatorial candidate, Joe Trillo.
Thank you. Nice to be here.